His name. Praise God. Job had it right. He said sometimes the Lord just blesses. And it's easy to say blessed be the name of the Lord when everything's going all right. But Job had the secret. He said my response to the Lord will be the same whether he's giving or whether he's testing me. My response will be blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's worship him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Let's say it. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his name. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be his name. We need to pray this morning for Freddie Burnside for financial healing and special unspoken. Let's remember that. And then our prayer requests in our bulletin. We want to remember Brother and Sister Grant for further recovery and healing. This morning, I don't see Brother Barkas. He was at men's breakfast yesterday. So let's continue to pray for him. Sister Lipke, anybody seen Sister Lipke this morning yet? No, she's back there. See back there? There she is. Let's give praise to God for that. Thank God. There she is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless her. God bless her this morning. That's a victory. And then Esther Norris is shut in. Let's remember her. And then Sister Moo, K. Moo. For that kidney transplant situation, let's ask God. And you have a need in your heart this morning. You came to church knowing that the Lord could help you with your need. Amen. He can do a lot of things. Praise God. If we'll worship him, we'll praise him. While he's on his way, he can fix a lot of things. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, God, for forgiveness of sins. We're thankful, Lord, our sins are hidden under the blood this morning. Thank you, God, for the sacrifice that brought us to this place. Thank you for the initiative, God, that brought us to the house of God this morning. We have needs that are presented here this morning. Brother Burnside needs a touch, and Brother Sister Grant, God, remember them this morning. Continue to bless them and to lift them up this morning. Sister Brother Vargas is not here. Thank you, God, that Loretta Lipke is here this morning. Bless Sister Norris and Sister Moo this morning. Let's give him some praise. Let's thank him for what he's already done. Every hand that was raised represents an opportunity for God to work this morning. God bless you.
Amen. You may be seated. Family Fun Day is right around the corner, and we're again asking that you please assist us in providing food for that event. Families, main dish and side dish. Single adults, please bring a 24 case of water or a 12 case of soda. That event is September 2nd. We're meeting at 11:30. Please bring your food items before 11:30 so we can pray and eat right at that time. And that is Labor Day, September 2nd. Please invite a friend. There's flyers inside of the bulletins. Also, tomorrow, Monday, August 26th, Abaca is having a parent-teacher meeting. So if you're involved with the ACE school, you and your children, or are interested in doing such, please contact Sister Chandra Murphy. You can get a hold of her and about the parent-teacher meeting. That will be at 6:30 in the chapel. And then Friday, August 30th, the ladies are meeting for prayer here at the sanctuary at 6:30 p.m. Prayer here for the ladies, 6:30 this Friday. Man, at this time, we're going to have the Sunday school come and sing for us. Amen.
Good to see our children here this morning. And looking at the calendar, I think you have 1 week left of freedom before school starts, right back to school. And I've been thinking about school. I remember when I went to school, I had some teachers who were teaching me that we came from monkeys. How many of you came from a monkey? Oh, I'm glad nobody here. Oh, maybe their parents call them monkeys, or sometimes we act like monkeys, right? But the Bible tells us where we came from, and I've asked Rebecca here to read this verse for us. It's in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27.
So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them.
So God tells us that who created us? Who? God. And he made us in his own image. How cool is that? Every day when you get up and you look in the mirror, you think, wow, I'm a God's kid. I look just like him. He's got his fingerprints all over my life. How cool is that? We want to tell everybody that they're a God's kid too. So this morning we're going to sing a song that says, I'm no kin to a monkey. No, no, no. And a monkey is no kin to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. All right? And a couple of you have monkeys? You're a gorilla? And you've got a monkey over here. Who else has a monkey? You have a monkey? All right, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Can you all stand with me? Can you put on your monkey face? You ever been to the zoo and seen the monkeys? They're some of the funniest animals. And we're going to sing this song. I'm no kin to a monkey. And I want you to say, no, no, no. A monkey's no kin to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't. Can you hang on to one of those ropes and go swinging through the trees? All right, you ready? I'm no kin to a monkey. No, no, no. A monkey's no kin to me. Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. No, I'm no kin to a monkey. No, no, no. And a monkey's no kin to me. Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Come here, little monkey. Here you go. All right, can you stand right here? We got a really good baboon. You ready to sing again? Yes, all right. Oh, I'm no kin to a monkey, no, no, no. And a monkey's no kin to me, yeah, 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 yeah. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Oh, I'm no kin to a monkey, no, no, no. And a monkey's no kin to me, yeah, 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 yeah. And I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. I think some of us are smarter than our teachers because we have God's word and we know what's true and what's right. Don't be afraid to stand up for truth. And bring someone with you to Sunday school next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.
As all the children are headed out to Sunday school, they did a wonderful job with their song. We're going to continue also in worship here with all the adults and also in giving this morning. Amen.
Chains are broken, eyes are
magnify the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Jesus, we magnify you. Lord, you're awesome. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The presence of the Lord is here. And we are expecting wonderful things from the Lord this morning. Brother Jokey is with us. He is no stranger to this church. Of course, he is pastoring in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but he's a Jokey, not an Okie. He's from Duluth, Minnesota, has been a great blessing to ABI, friend and graduate of ABI, and we're so happy to have him here and ready to hear the word of the Lord from him. Brother Jokey, come and take your liberty.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Gillett. You may be seated. God bless you all. It's great to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? The Lord is so good. It's great to be in St. Paul, one of the greatest cities in the world. And love this school, and I love this church. Want to give honor to Brother and Sister Grant. They can't be here, but if they're watching via the internet or whatever, or if they're going to view it later on archive or something, Brother and Sister Grant, I love you. Thank you for everything. Praying for you. Appreciate the staff that's here, the great ABI staff, Brother Gillett, Brother Reese, and Brother Bishop. These are great guys. Brother Bowman, and I just appreciate, and Brother Reed, appreciate all of their hard work, their faithfulness to Brother and Sister Grant, and their faithfulness to this church. Aren't you thankful for a great staff of people that love the work of the Lord? Amen. It's always a thrill and an honor to see them and to be with them. I give honor to the faithful, precious, dear saints of Apostolic Bible Church. Love you all. It's a great church. And I've got a lot of great memories in this building, participating in dramas and church services and devotions and just, this is, you know, whether you're sitting in here alone over here praying or with, in a full house, it's just a great venue to be in. And to all the ABI students, give you honor. And then there's a host of new ones. And I don't know if I wasn't really paying attention to Brother Gillett's introduction. I don't know if he said this or not, but I'm your president. I'm the ABI alumni president, so I have my own speech writers, and it's epic. So, but I thought that was funny. No, not, only got a couple of laughs. Only got a brother Seth cracked up. So, brother and sister Taylor are in Tulsa with us. It's good to see Sister Taylor's family, her mother and her siblings. You guys are awesome. And some have asked how the Taylors are doing. They're doing great. They've settled into the city of Tulsa. It's smoking hot down there. We came out of about 2 or 3 weeks of over 100 degrees, but they survived. We all kind of barely survived. And Brother Taylor is preaching. You might be thinking right now, well, Brother Jokey, if you're in St. Paul, who's preaching in Tulsa? Brother Taylor is preaching in Tulsa. Yes. And I'm sure it's going to be way better than my presentation, my sermon to you. But nobody wants to hear a boring sermon. Yesterday, I went to Duluth, my hometown, to see my parents and my sisters, and I got up early yesterday morning and went to Caribou Coffee at Canal Park down in Duluth, if you're familiar with that part of the city or whatever, maybe you're not, but I was down there, brought my iPad and a notebook, and was doing some reading and studying outside on the patio there at Caribou, and there was a guy sitting next to me, and he was doing kind of the same thing. He had a notebook and was writing things down, and he was talking. He was like rehearsing something, and I just said, you know, what are you doing? And he said, I'm writing a speech, and I'm rehearsing this speech. And he asked me, do you do any public speaking? And I said, well, sometimes. And he said, let me read this speech to you, and then give me your opinion. And he was reading this speech to me, and I found it so boring. that while he was reading it to me, I thought, you know, should I be really honest? And so I just made up my mind. I just made up my mind. I'm just going to be honest. And when he got close to the end, I said, man, it's really boring. It's a really boring speech. And he asked me for a little bit of help, and we kind of bantered back and forth, and maybe I helped him, I don't know. But while he was talking to me, I was thinking, nobody wants to hear a boring speech. And as I was driving to church this morning, I thought, nobody wants to hear a boring sermon either. And so if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 6. Isn't it good to be in church? Amen. So wonderful to be with the wonderful people of the Lord. Mark chapter 6. Mark is my favorite Bible character, by the way, if anybody asks. Nobody asked, but I thought I would tell you. I love John Mark. I don't have time to tell you. Everybody asks me, why do you like him so much? Well, come find me later, and I'll tell you. But Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 1. This is, before we start reading, Jesus is kind of slipping into his hometown of Nazareth. And this is kind of what happens. And he went out from thence, starting at verse 1, Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. There's just so many. I could just stop and start talking, but we don't have time. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? And then verse 3, is not this the carpenter? Carpenter. That was the occupation that Jesus chose before he started his earthly ministry. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. I love this. And this verse 5 has nothing to do with my sermon, but what an interesting verse. And he couldn't do any mighty works there. But look at this sentence, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Aren't you? I wonder if there's a few folk here today. You know what I'm talking about? That sentence has nothing to do with my sermon. But what a great sentence. There was a few people that were super hungry. There's just a few of them. Thank the Lord for those few sick folk. And he marveled, verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. So I'm going to talk about the fact that Jesus was a carpenter. And so the title of my sermon this morning is called The Good Carpenter. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for your many blessings. Thank you for your word. It's already anointed. Let it find good ground in our heart. Thank you for this church, for Brother and Sister Grant, for this congregation, for these students. We ask that your word would find good ground in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I appreciate carpenters. I appreciate people that can do things with their hands, because I can't. I can't do any. You know, I barely can know how to pull a nail out of a 2x4. I just don't have any of those kinds of abilities. I can't run a skill saw. I can't. You know, if I went after a nail with a hammer, it would take me 30 or 40 or 50 swipes at it to, you know, figure it out. I could never build something. You know what I'm talking about? There are guys that can, Brother Reed, there are people that can build stuff. There really are. They can envision things. Somebody built this. People can build things, but not me. My dad is, and it's really weird, my dad and I are a lot alike in many ways. We look alike. We have a lot of the same interests, but he can fix things. He's one of those guys that can build things. He has tools. I don't have any tools, man. When my wife and I first got married in 1989, we got married in the greatest decade in the 80s, and we moved to Indianapolis, and I took a job I didn't know anything about construction, as I've already described to you. So I took a job in the construction field as a laborer. I can't build things, but I can wreck things. And I was given the task of like wrecking forms, cement forms, things like that. I started telling people, I'm not in the construction business, I'm in the destruction business. That's okay, you know, if you're out in the field, that's okay, but it's not okay in church. So my first day on the job, they put me over with some carpenters, and they said, you know, help these carpenters build these forms or whatever, you know. Pass them. I could do things like this. Pass them a 2x4, you know, and stuff like that. These carpenters knew. They could tell that I didn't have a clue what I was doing. They could just tell that I had absolutely no idea, even what a hammer looked like, kind of. And so they thought they would have some fun with me. And I fell right into it. I bought right into it. When I think thinking back, it's all these years later. It's so embarrassing, but it is what it is. It happened, and I can't take it back. But they said to me, hey, Jokey, these 2x4s that we're using to form up these forms here to pour cement, these 2x4s, this big stack of 2, they're too short. And we need you to go to the tool trailer. It was a big union construction, wearing a hard hat and everything. And there was a tool trailer, a semi-truck trailer with full of tools. And they said, in that tool trailer is a 2x4 stretcher. And they said it's orange and it's got a big handle on it and it's got big teeth. And so what you do is you put the 2x4 down in it and you kind of push down on the 2x4 and until it sinks into the teeth a little bit. And then you pull the handle and it stretches the 2x4. And so I said, all right, man, I'll be right back. And so I went running to that tool trailer and I was looking everywhere for an orange tool that looked like, they said it looked like a car jack, kind of. It sat on the floor with a big handle. I was looking all over for it, searching, lifting things up, looking under things. Finally, some other carpenters came in and they said, you know, what are you looking for? How can we help you? And I said, do you see those guys over there? Those dudes, 2x4s are too short, man. And I'm looking for it. They sent me in here to get the 2x4 stretcher, and then the guy said, this guy was in no mood to play games. He said, there's no such thing as a 2x4 stretcher. And then by that time they were all everybody was laughing. But it made for a good story. That's about as much as I know about carpentry. Is that there's no you can, if you came up to me and said, hey man, what do you know about construction? I'd say, there's no such thing as a 2x4 stretcher, man. But I think construction and carpentry is a great occupation. I think it's a great gift. I think it's a great talent. And Jesus was raised in the home of a carpenter, and it was custom among the Jewish fathers to teach their sons their skills. And so Jesus did not meet the Jews' idea of the Messiah. They expected the Messiah to come as a conquering king and reestablish the kingdom. But Jesus, the story of Jesus is so amazing. Jesus did not come as a king. He was born in a stable, and he came really as a humble carpenter. And you wonder why. I just was wondering. I've been giving a lot of thought to his occupation as a carpenter, besides the fact that his dad was one and his dad raised him to be a carpenter like his dad. But I wondered if it was a part of it was probably so that he could identify, Jesus could identify with the common people. Jesus was a man of the common people. And as a carpenter, Jesus came to understand people's burdens and needs. He knew what it was like. Jesus knew what it was like to work hard and come home tired. You know what I'm talking about? People work hard. I almost feel like just talking to the ABI students for a little bit. People work hard, man. People work hard. And when they come to church, you need to minister to them. You need to love them. Love people. People work hard. Husbands and wives both working, grinding out a living, working hard. And then when you stop and think about construction work, it's hard work. And I think that, you know, maybe one of the reasons Jesus did this occupation was to understand people's burdens and needs. He knew what it was like to work hard and be tired. I did even a little bit more research, and it's believed that Jesus made yokes and plows with some of the work that he did. And that would be why he used yokes as illustrations, like he did in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. The Bible says that, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." What a great verse. Aren't you thankful that we can go to the Lord and cast our cares on him? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's believed he worked on yokes and plows. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "And Jesus said unto them, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." But it was his profession as a carpenter that I was been thinking about. And I got to thinking about, I'm not really good at carpentry, although I've dabbled in it a little bit. I can wreck things and stuff like that. But I was thinking, I have friends that are really good carpenters. Seriously, I have friends that can build a set of stairs in a few minutes or frame a house in a couple of days. I have friends that can do that kind of stuff. And I began to think about the profession of a carpenter. And there are two things. And the good news, I'm almost done. Think about that. For those of you that are starting to fall asleep, I'm almost done, man. That goes back to my youth ministry days. I would tell those kids at those youth camps, I'm almost done, even if I kind of wasn't. I kind of was. And I kind of am almost done right now. So I was thinking about, and I didn't get this out of a book. I just was thinking about what do carpenters really do? There's two things that carpenters really do. And in thinking about the fact that Jesus' occupation before he launched into his ministry was that of a carpenter. So the first thing, everybody, that a carpenter does is a carpenter builds new things. That's what carpenters do. They build new things. And Jesus is a builder. He was a carpenter. He's a builder. He built, you know what he built? He's the best builder. He built the universe. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." He built everything. He built the universe. Jesus builds new things. I've got good news for you this morning. If you need a new life, if you need something new in your life, you've come to a good place this morning. Because Jesus is a carpenter, and carpenters build new things. Jesus built it all. And you know what else he's doing? He's building his church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you thankful for the church? Don't think that you built this church. I didn't have anything to do with building this church. Jesus built this church. I will build my church. Jesus is a builder. Be thankful for this church. The Lord built this church, and he's continuing to build this church. It's not your church. It's not my church. This is God's church, and he's building it. But I'll tell you what he needs. He needs some helpers. Thank the Lord for these ABI students. I'm glad you're here, because you know what? This is what I believe. I believe there's going to be, and it's already kind of happening, I believe there's going to be a great end time revival, man. And you know what? You know what the Lord needs? He needs vessels, willing vessels, people like you guys and you girls and all of us. He needs us to be his hands and his feet doing his work. There's already wonderful things happening. The Lord is moving. The Lord is doing things. This church is growing. My church is growing. My wife and I took that church, that little church in downtown Tulsa, 2 years ago. You know how many we had in our first service? I think we had like 21 people in our first service. Last week we had 61 in 2 years. We're right downtown, man. We are just reaching out like crazy. We pull up on Sunday mornings. This is so fun. We pull up. It's so great to be downtown. I wish that we could almost hook this church building up to a helicopter and fly it downtown and land it right down. Can you imagine this church being right downtown Minneapolis or St. Paul or something like that? When on Sunday mornings, when we pull up to our church, there's already people waiting there for us to get there. Homeless people. For 2 years, we've been reaching out, feeding them, giving them coffee, clothes, food. Kimball is with us now. He's giving them free haircuts. I got before and after pictures of these homeless dudes coming in. Kimball's cutting them up, giving them super epic haircuts. Really cool. They look like, these homeless, these before and after pictures will blow your mind. I got pictures of them on my phone. And one homeless guy, Kimball gave him the coolest haircut. And when we gave him, he looked in the mirror, and the guy said, "Oh no!" He said, "Now if I shaved, I could get a job." That's exactly what he said. So we're cleaning him up on the outside and the inside, eh? But we pull up to the church, and they're stacked up, just waiting for us to get there. How cool would that be? Come pull up to this church, and there's people out here waiting for you. Man, when are you going to get here? Unlock the door. We want to come to church. So this is God's church. He's building this church. He's a builder, and he's building a heavenly mansion for us. You know, this, I'm going to tell you, time flies. I'm 52. I was drinking coffee down here at Starbucks when it dawned on me that it was about this time that my dad dropped me off. On this campus, I had to get out my iPhone and do the math. It was 34 years ago my dad dropped me off of Branding Hall in August, late August of 1985. 34 years ago, and you know what it feels like last week? Who knows what I'm talking about? Last week, it feels like. Where have these 34 years gone? So time is flying. Even if you live to be 99, man, compared to eternity, that's short. And you know what Jesus else is building? He's building you and I a heavenly mansion. Let your hearts not be troubled, he said. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go build something for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. The Lord is building. He's building. He's a builder. He builds new things, and he builds new lives. Hallelujah. If you need a new life, he can build a new life for you. If you need, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because the next thing carpenters do is cool too. But he has gone away to build a place for you. This is many years ago. This is 15, 16, 17 years ago. My dad was in Oklahoma visiting us, maybe even 20 years ago now. And my dad lives in Duluth, and he was getting ready to build a house. All he, at that particular time, all he had was the property. That's all he had was the property. And he was down visiting us in Oklahoma. And the day that he left, my dad came out of his room with a roll of blueprints. And he spread the blueprints out on the kitchen table. And my dad said, "Greg, come over here and check this out. I want to show you the house I'm going away to build." We were down in Oklahoma, and he rolled out these blueprints. And my dad began to show me that my dad is an engineer, a draftsman, and he said, "I designed this house, and this is what our house is going to look like. We haven't even broke ground yet. All we've bought is the property, but this is what I'm going to build." And he pointed really cool things out to me. Well, it was about a year and a half later before I got to go back to Duluth, and the house was done. But I didn't see it. All I was going by was what my earthly father told me. All my earthly father told me, my dad, Raymond Jokey, all he said was, "I'm He was leaving that day. He was leaving Tulsa to go back to Duluth. And he said, before I leave, I want to show you what I'm going home to build. And he got in his car and he left. All I had to go by was what my dad said. I'm going away to build a house. And a year and a half later, I got in my car and I drove up to Duluth and I followed the directions to where my dad's piece of property was. And I'll never forget pulling up, and there was the house that he had pointed out to me on the blueprints. And I put the car in park. It was early in the morning. I got up there about 5 in the morning. I put the car in park, and I remember thinking, if my earthly father can tell me, Greg, I'm going away to build this house, and a year and a half later, I drive up, and there it is, a gleaming, brand new home. I just have to believe that our Heavenly Father is doing the same thing. Hallelujah. And if you haven't figured it out yet, we're all going to go by the way of the grave. And I want to be ready, either the rapture or the grave. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. And he has built a home for you and I. He's a builder. And by contrast, I just want to talk about this for a minute. By contrast, Satan is a destroyer. The Bible says that the thief cometh not, but in John chapter 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that ye might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, the Bible says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name is Apollyon, which means destroyer. Satan is a destroyer. The devil is a destroyer. But Jesus is a builder. Aren't you thankful for that? He builds lives. He builds lives. He builds homes. He builds families. A key word in Paul's epistles is edify, or to build up. He uses the word 11 times in his epistles. So you are either working with Jesus in building, or you're working with the devil in tearing things down. Think about that. You're either working with Jesus to build up, or you're working with the devil to tear down. That's why I'm glad these students are here to be at ABI, because you're going to partner with Jesus to build up, build churches, build lives. Hallelujah. At the close of Paul's first epistle to the saints at Thessalonica, he exhorts them to edify one another. And the word here translated edify is the Greek word oikdomio. It is found 39 times in the original text, and all but 8 times it is translated as build or built. It is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 7:24 when he spoke about the wise man who built his house on the rock. And so Jesus, the first thing that a carpenter does is builds new things. And you and I serve a God this morning that is a builder. He builds new things. If you need a new thing built in your life, he can do it. Hallelujah. And the second thing that a carpenter, now remember, I think I was at a coffee shop somewhere with a notebook and a pen writing things down. What do carpenters do? And I came up with a couple of them, but I settled on these two because I don't want to be a long preacher. I don't want to be a long, boring preacher. And I feel like I'm already going too long. So I'm almost done, though. So the first thing that carpenters do is they build new things. The second thing that carpenters do is they repair broken things. They repair broken things. You have a broken chair or a broken table or a damaged dresser or cabinet. Who do you call? We call a carpenter to repair the damage. And in the same way, people, think about this now, and in the same way, people brought their broken lives to Jesus, and he would repair them just like he does today. When I was 16 years old, up in northern Minnesota, at the age of 16, I already was just on a road to destruction. Already at the age of 16, dealing with addictions. At the age of 16, it's hard to believe. But at the age of 16, I was already fighting addictions, fighting monsters, fighting demons at the age of 16, and my life was already broken down at the age of 16. But thank the Lord for an apostolic church. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for an apostolic preacher by the name of James Merrick. Brother Merrick was only like 44 years old. Think about that. When I came into the church, he was only about, can you imagine James Merrick in his prime? He was unbelievable. That first sermon I heard him preach, Brother Reed, I don't have time to tell you the stuff that he was figuring out about me. I was telling Brother Bishop, when he picked me up at the airport the other day, I remember one time sitting on the front row and Brother Merrick was just preaching in his mid-40s, preaching on a Sunday night. And he said, this is what, I'll never forget it. He put the mic down and caught his breath. And he said, I feel like I could walk through walls tonight. And I think he could have. But he didn't want to scare anybody, I don't think. But I brought my broken life to that church. I brought my broken life, a broken, crumbling, falling apart life, and an apostolic pastor met me there and introduced me to the carpenter, Jesus, and he repaired my broken life. If you have a broken life, if you have a broken marriage, if you have a broken whatever, I've got good news for you. You don't have to leave the way you came here this morning. In just a little bit, we're going to open up this altar, and you can find a place to pray. I don't care what's broken. Jesus can fix it. He can fix it. If you got a broken spirit, if you got a broken attitude, if you got a broken whatever, you are in the right place this morning. Jesus is the carpenter that can fix broken stuff. Broken lives, man. It makes me want to cry. It makes me want to cry to think about the broken lives. I go into jails and prisons in Oklahoma all the time. I'm an Oklahoma Department of Corrections chaplain, and I'm a Tulsa County jail chaplain. I'm in and out of these facilities all the time. And the broken, beat up lives. Oh, I just want to take them by the hand and take them to an altar somewhere and introduce them to the carpenter. The Bible says, I was reading the Bible when I was thinking about this, Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. The NIV says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. So here's a lamp with a burned down and just about to go out, and Jesus does not blow it out. A smoking flax shall he not quench. We are right at the very end, Jesus comes in and saves the day. We are like that bruised reed. We're bruised through the trials of life. But Jesus, the carpenter, comes and repairs us. At times, we may be like the smoldering wick. All that is left is a faint glow coming from the smoking embers. But Jesus does not blow that little flame out. He comes and keeps our fire burning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care how much, I don't care if you don't have any strength left this morning. Jesus knows right where you're at. I don't care if you just barely had enough strength to just show up to church this morning. Jesus knows right where you're at. Let him rebuild your life. Let him rebuild your life. I was just really quick. I know I'm taking to my apologies. I'm going to try to, but I was just the other day reading, and I remember when it happened in August of 2000, 19 years ago, a Russian submarine named the Kursk, it sunk in the Barents Sea, and it was a tragedy. It was considered a tragedy. It still is. There's like 118 sailors on board. They were all killed. They all died. And I remember when it happened, reading about it in August of 2000 in the newspaper. I remember reading this article that every vessel in the area, including the U.S. Navy, went over to where the Kursk, you can look it up, K-U-R-S-K, the Kursk, just Google the, now in Bible school, kids, I would encourage you to research this for yourself, but the Kursk, K-U-R-S-K, Russian submarine, it sunk in the Barents Sea, and the article said that the U.S. Navy dropped into the water super sensitive hearing devices, and then they listened. They actually said, everybody be quiet, and they listened, and this is what they heard. They heard tap, tap, tap. And I read that article, and I thought, you know what? Sometimes I come to church, and all I have the strength to do is just tap. But Jesus hears it. He hears it. Don't stop tapping. Don't stop tapping, because I was at the coffee shop just this morning, and I was thinking about this story, and I Googled it, and a story popped up that I just want to, this was the tapping eventually stopped, and there's an article on the internet called "When the Tapping Stopped, Russia Still Haunted by the Kursk Disaster." But the article was called "When the Tapping Stopped." We can't stop tapping. Even if that's all the strength you have, is just tap. Don't stop tapping. You just show up. You're broken. Your marriage is broken. Your kids' lives are broken. Your future is broken. Your relationships are broken. Don't stop tapping. Come to church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to get to the end here. The carpenter has a different mind. Hear me now. I know they're getting, the musicians are getting into place, but don't let them distract you. Here's the perspective of a carpenter. The carpenter sees the potential in the wood. He looks, hear me now, don't get distracted by the musicians. The carpenter looks at a piece of wood differently than the way, I'm not a carpenter. I see a piece of wood and it means nothing to me. But a carpenter sees a piece of wood and picks it up and starts, what can I do with this? What can I do with this wood? Most people would look and say, it has knots in it. It has cracks in it. It's got ink marks on it where they stamped it at the lumber yard, or it's bowed, or it's bent. But the carpenter says, I can glue those knots back in, and that crack can be fixed, and that warp can be taken out with a planer. The carpenter sees the potential of the wood, not the problems of the wood. You hear me? The carpenter sees the potential of the wood, not the problems. I've read that old weather-beaten barn siding. Hear me now. I've read that old weather-beaten barn siding is in great demand today. Some would look at wood like that and say it's worthless. But that's not the way the carpenters see it. A carpenter looks at an old weathered board and says, I think I can use that. Go out behind a factory or a garage somewhere, and there's some old wooden crates being thrown away. A carpenter would think, I wonder what I could make out of that discarded old crate. Jesus looks at us today, this morning, and what does he see? He sees our potential. He knows which tools to use to bring out our potential. He knows your rough spots. He knows my rough spots, your rough spots that need to be sanded down. He knows when we need to be polished. But he doesn't see the problems. He just sees the potential, because that's how carpenters think. And carpenters always have a plan. This will be my last point. If you guys want to, carpenters always have a plan. I've got more to say, but it's time to be. I got more, but I'm going to. The carpenter is patient. Hear me now. A carpenter never goes into a project with no plan. I at least know that much about carpentry and construction. A carpenter always has a plan going forward. The carpenter is patient, seeing the work through to the end, planning. Seeing the end, working the plan. A good carpenter can see a pile of wood and some stuff, and in his mind, he sees the end. And he looks at the pile of wood and he sees the potential, and he's got a plan and he's patient. So Jesus' occupation. Jesus, what did you do, man? Jesus, what did you do? I was a carpenter. I built new things. And I repaired a lot of broken things. Hallelujah. Love you, Jesus. I feel the Lord here this morning. I really feel God. I just do. I feel the Lord. Hallelujah. The musicians are awesome. They're making music. This altar is open. Let's stand together. If you've got a broken life, if you've got a broken future, if you've got broken dreams, if you need some new stuff built, this altar is open. God, we love you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Hallelujah.